Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Speak Your Way to Success series, where I have gathered the best of the best.
Mins, I have to interrupt you. Your audio, it's echoing. Ooh. It's like squealing.
Hello. And welcome.
Keep talking.
Testing.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I am here as your host of this.
Oh, my God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, the hostess with the mostest for the Speak Your Way to Success virtual series, where I have gathered women and men from all around the world to share their secrets about how to speak your way to success, to share your message online, on video, on live stream, offline, online, etc., so that you can impact millions and make millions. And today I have Ashley Ryan, who you all are going to love. She is a little whippersnapper, and so in my opinion, you'll find out yourself in a minute. Let me introduce Ashley. So Ashley Ryan is the founder of Her Smart Marketing. She is a female entrepreneur who plays big and means business. She's consulted for Fortune 500 companies, bringing in 6- and 7-figure revenue for her clients through simple, uncomplicated, savvy marketing systems. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. So nice to be here, Amanda. I loved how you called me a whippersnapper.
Oh, you totally are. Well, let's dive in, girl. You're a whippersnapper. All right. So let's talk about, we're here to talk about doing events and speaking on stage and impacting millions and make millions. Give us your best stuff. You know, like, sure. How can these people do it?
Sure. Well, I think an important thing to consider is that, and I hear this, I know who's watching this video right now. A lot of service providers, coaches, consultants, business owners who want to make a big difference in the world. So I know who you are. You know, some of you are just starting out. There's others who have a successful business, but maybe you're capped, right? Because sometimes, well, not sometimes, you can only get to a certain point in your business before you can't scale any further without, drum roll, please, help and support. So I'd actually like to kind of talk about that today is, support in your business and having that team in order to take it to the next level. Because even when you run your event or do your marketing, you have to have a team. Like, you can't do it all yourself. And if you try, you'll be stuck. Yeah. Right?
100%. So. Totally stuck. In fact, even in this, the putting together this series, we were at 75 hours of my team work on the 9th day of the month. And I had to go and, you know, add additional hours, and not only that, bring on another team member. So team is really important as you're expanding and growing at whatever stage. So how do we actually get the right support? What are some great hiring tips?
That's a good question. And this is something, and this isn't only about, like, for those of you watching, we're talking about events, but I'm talking about your business in general, right? So this applies to your entire business, not just running an event, which is really, really valuable. Thank you, Amanda, for offering this. But diving into the tips, what I see that's very common, which I hear often is, oh, I hired a virtual assistant, or oh, I hired a designer and they disappeared, or oh, they're on holidays, or oh, I see clients coming to me and basically my clients are micromanaging their team, or like my clients are doing the job of the team, and it's like, what do you have a team for? So it's really important for those of you listening, this is tip number one, is that for those of you watching, you are on a mission, right? You're up to big things. You're making a difference in the world. You're transforming lives. You're on a mission. You're on a train. And if people are either on your train with you or they have to get off the train, otherwise you're never going to realize your goal. Because the problem is if you have a few stragglers, then it throws off the entire team, and it takes away from those people who are good, and those people who are good will actually sometimes leave you because they're compensating for the other one or two bad apples, right? It's like in the classroom, right? It's like one or two bad apples ruins the bunch. So my first encouragement is, A, you have to start thinking about a team, and this depresses people because clients seem to think, my clients come to me and they think, oh, well, I'm going to get to a point where I'm just going to hand over everything and don't have to do anything. And that's possible, but generally at this level in revenue of business, who all's listening, that's not going to happen. You'd have to be, you know, like in the millions of millions or like a different level of your business, like totally disengage, right? So once you start, not ditching, but once you start rising in your pyramid, like that A behind your head, Amanda, so pretend you know, starting at the base, once you start rising in the pyramid, you are going to be managing team more and getting out of client work less, because one team member can service, if one team member can service 30 clients, that's better than you working with that client. And it's only like a one-on-one relationship, right?
Right. Yep.
So what do you think about that?
I love it. It's true. Then you're leveraging yourself. But what you're saying is basically your job position is changing because you're managing your team more than working with clients.
Exactly. And your team can reach more people. Mm-hmm. So it's still a really good investment of your time, right? Because then my team can service way more people. And so that's what I find my clients and those of you watching don't seem to get, is that, oh, okay, I'll just totally disengage with my business. And again, like for me, I can work 2 hours a day. I can take Fridays off. I can go on months on vacation, which is great. But not, I have to say, I did pay the price. I did go through, all of you watching again, we know the entrepreneurs toiling where we do sacrifice, right? I do have one of those pain to pleasure stories too. So not saying it was all easy street, right?
Yeah.
Because again, Amanda and I have talked about this. There's a lot of BS out there and a lot of stuff that's being shiny and beautiful that isn't always necessarily true. So being in my business, yes, and we'll touch on that in a minute. And being in my business and actually only being able to, you know, having the actual possibility of only working a couple hours a day, I know how to do it. And that's in the sense I'm always empowering my team, right? So that's number one, is having that support and kind of empowering your team and recognizing that you do need help. Because it's like they say in, you know, the addiction programs, it's like you have to recognize you have a problem or recognize something's not working in order to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, admit that you need help, and it's actually a good thing. So, what if people are controllers and they have trust issues? How do they? Oh my God,
that's a great question. And Amanda, you're simple for questions. And another thing is that most entrepreneurs, the question is who isn't a controller?
I know, right? We're like, I gotta control it. So yeah, what do you do? Like, or if you, and then trust issues, right? Like, you know, what if you don't trust them, or you're micromanaging them, or whatever?
Well, you shouldn't trust people who shouldn't do their job, right? Yeah. So there's two situations. Either you're over controlling and you're enabling people, so they're just taking easy street, which is very common. Mm-hmm. Two, they're not doing a good job and you're actually having to compensate. So you have to assess kind of which one is it. But generally, I find it's often often the business owner who can't let go. Or for those of you, again, for my listeners here, your team is never going to do it exactly how you necessarily want it done, but they generally will do a good job. You know, if your team is showing up and putting in 120%, then so you don't want to just give everything over when you don't know that you can trust the person. This is another common hiring mistake I see. Mm-hmm. People get desperate. They want to just hand everything over. So they hire somebody willy-nilly and then hand over their entire business in like a day or a month.
But that's like, there you go.
Right.
Here's your baby. Here's my baby. Good luck. Yeah.
So what you want to do is actually test the person out for a period of like a month with littler things, so that when it gets to a month, it's like, oh, I can trust this person. They're showing up on time. They're doing a good job. And generally within a month's time working with someone, you know, as to how they perform. If in the first month, like things are falling off, it's like, and that's another thing that I get into with female business owners. I found boundaries are just such a big issue. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll have clients who will be losing money and paying their team members to babysit them, and it's impacting their own income, and they'll still do it because they feel bad for the team member.
Yeah.
I'm like, totally. Are you bleeping kidding me? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like, do your therapy.
That's a good thing. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
People, don't be babysitting your team or codependent. I hear that a lot. Like, well, she's so nice, I can't let her go. It's like, what do they say? Hire slowly, fire fast.
Yeah, hire slowly, fire quickly. Absolutely. So yeah, it's really important that if people aren't on board with you, a business is a business. And I'm not saying we want to have a lose-lose. We want to have a win-win. But there's some situations where it is either you or them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're paying them $5,000 a month or $3,000 a month. That's taking it of your salary or somebody else who could do a better job.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be really strategic about who you're hiring, have your boundaries, letting go of the control. And you have to identify that early on, because that will block you. If you can't let go of the control, then, and it does take practice, and I would say it takes somewhat of therapy, because that's kind of a deeper issue, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. So let's talk about, so any other tips? So we need help. And let's say people want to do events, or they want to do speaking, and they want to do, let's talk a little bit about that too. So you're supported by a team, you're hiring smart, you're doing a test for the 30-day period, you're checking your own self before you wreck yourself, and then you're ready to do an event or a workshop or retreat. Why do you think that doing events and workshops and retreats is a good thing? And let's talk about intimacy and leads and things like
that. Sure. Yeah, that's okay. That's a good topic. Well, I want to ask you a question, actually, because it's something came up. Who was your first hire for your events?
It was a big New York event team. I won't say their name, but yeah, it cost me like $20,000, and it was so, it was a little much. It was a little sketchy because I had the money and I was paying current, you know, in the, as we were going, but it was a lot on the line. Yeah.
I went big
for sure. And it definitely scared me. I was just like, I mean, I pulled it off. It all worked out more than, you know, 7-8 times that, but it's still sketchy, you know, it's scary. I know, but it worked out. But then, so we could talk about that, but there was some really, it was literally my first event, felt like it was a 3-day event, and it literally felt like I was giving birth. I mean, I was so scared. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother episode. It's a whole nother Oprah. But yeah, I'm an emotionally sensitive person. So that kind of, all that energy was a lot on the little mama, you know, but it worked out. And then, yeah. Any other questions, Ashley?
No, yeah. Sorry. Barbara Walters here. Okay. At the police station, right? Where were you last night? No, I'll get my flashlight. No, but so marketing levels of intimacy. This is something that has stuck with me for a long time. And I think I took it from somebody. I can't remember where I got it from years ago, but I've coined it as my own. And I'm just going to say, this changed my perspective of looking at things. And so there's three different levels of intimacy in marketing. So there's a low level, there's a medium level, and a high level. A high level is going out and meeting someone outside on the street or in a coffee shop or in a strategy session and being intimate with them in the way of understanding their problems, their issues, their visions, and then enrolling them into some sort of larger offering. So I could easily go out, meet somebody, and get them to spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, right? Much more easily than the low level of intimacy, which is online marketing, which is sales pages, lead pages, anything converting, anything low level. So that's when the copywriting and the writing's really important, because that's the only thing they're seeing. So I think we went through this, but I'm going to just ask you, Amanda, so what do you think? So say there's a sales page. We've all seen those really long sales pages. It's a good sales page by a top copywriter, let's just say. What do you think the page for a $100 product converts at? So out of 100 people, how many buy?
2%, 1%.
So that's a good guess. Most people say 10% or 15%. But yeah, like 1% is generally good. So think about how much traffic, and imagine a lead costs you $1, say.
Yep.
Some leads cost you up to like $4. Mm-hmm. Imagine a lead costs you $1. And you're driving 100 clicks or whatever. Like, think about how much traffic you'd have to drive to make $10,000.
Yeah, lots and lots you'd and lots.
Thousands and thousands of dollars a day.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? So really important to kind of think about those different levels of intimacy, because I see people diving into their business and they're thinking, oh, I'm just going to have an info product and make it rich. Well, that's not really your lowest hanging fruit. And that's where I like speaking. Speaking's kind of that medium to higher even sometimes level of intimacy. Mm-hmm. So you're still engaged, the people are still there, it's live, but you're leveraging kind of the group. But where you can fall off sometimes, one can fall off is during the objections, in the sense of like if you're one-on-one with a person, you can work through their objections. But on the stage, it sounds like you're probably strategically working through those objections based on you know your demographic, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a strategy behind that. Yeah, so... It's just really interesting. So 1%, I hear that all the from my clients, and they're like, I'm just going to pay for Facebook ads and drive it to a lead page. And I'm like, but you need to, I tell them they need to increase their connections and engagement and build a tribe and a following of people first, of leads / ideal clients, and then move them into something like that, because cold leads are so hard to convert. Now, so would you say that those leads that come to that sales page, are those cold leads or are those warm leads?
Yeah, it depends on the lead. Like, you can have a higher conversion rate if they're warmer leads, but it's still dicey. You're still sending them to like a page where they're reading. So unless the copy, and it's very, it's like, I've seen some pages that convert very well, but it's like one in a million. It's not like, it's more of the like exception than the rule.
Right.
So it's
right.
all about marketing in general. It's all about testing. That's why with like, say, filling an event, which you and I have touched on before, you know, what are some strategies for filling an event? I find joint venture partnerships are really great and really solid. Because those people will promote your business. Sometimes they'll have invested interest in it. Like if you're holding a space there, or if you're giving their people tickets for free, or like some sort of mutually beneficial situation, and you're leveraging their networks, right?
Yes.
So just running cold traffic to an event isn't going to be as effective as having these strategic partnerships and those people being invested in what you're up to, even having them as a speaker or whatnot.
Right. So having JVs, friends, colleagues sharing your events or workshops, and just start speaking in front of people, getting people to get to know, like, and trust you and connect with you. And then what do you think about like sponsoring and sponsoring people's events? And that's another great way too. Like you go to someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's totally great. Either way, but I find with sponsorships, you have to be strategic, right? In terms of like, look at the ROI. Because some people say, oh, well, I'll invest $5,000 in the sponsorship and then I can just get one client. But then there's all these other things like time investment. When I sponsor an event, it's hours and hours and hours of my prep time.
Yeah, true.
So you have to look at that too, in terms of the context of like the investment. Something that we did that works really well is I have a client, and I'm in Canada actually. Most of our clients are in the US, but I'm in Canada. And I have a client who runs a great event every year in California. And she talks to my people and she does a preview call for my people. And last year, we had four or five of my clients go to her event in California, even though they were living in different places. So that's a great thing where she's talking to my group. My group loved it. And at the same time, that's kind of the next level and offering kind of that lower price ticket or whatever.
So did she talk to your mastermind just as a trainer?
She talked to my clients, like a training, a special training. Her topic is sales. And so she talked about that, and it was, you know, everyone found it really compelling and got the kind of clients together. So those strategic partnerships, don't overlook those because those are just more likely to make a difference, especially when you're just starting out. Like you're starting out incrementally. You're not going from zero to gangbusters like Amanda and myself where, you know, there's some big things to lose, right? You have to, this is another important tip. You have to be able to lose the money and be okay with that.
Yeah.
There's some situations where you are banking on your rent. But generally, I like to recommend, for me, if I'm making an investment, I need to be able to lose that investment and not have issues with payroll or whomever, right?
Right. Yeah, I've definitely played some risky things, but it just tests your faith and belief, and then it always works out at the 11th hour, at least. But you have to be really, you got to be good. You can't. I don't recommend it to the average Joe, Joanna. No. Okay. So these intimacy leads, I love it. And then, so basically some other tips on, so the strategic partners are huge, and it could be just, and what I actually recommend with people, and you probably like this too, but when you're first starting out, find other people who share your target market and bring them in as like you did with your friend, and introduce them to your people. And then you go into their people and you all support each other.
Yeah.
Then you can do sponsorship, but you have to make sure that it's very strategic, because it is, it's time and energy and money and focus. It is a lot, but if you can speak on someone's stage, I think it's worth it, because you're now leveraging and you're in front of so many more people. And then what about like building connections in your local, have you ever done that? Like done any events or workshops in your own town?
Yeah. And I want to also bring up another interesting point. It's important where you are in your business and to think about your intention. So for example, I have a Facebook Live show that we do every Friday, 1:30 Eastern. I'm plugging my show here because it's so good.
Plug it.
Be sure to check it out. You go to facebook.com/unstoppablelive, or you can friend me, Ashley Ryan, on Facebook. So our show, we have this show and people say to me, oh, what's your purpose of your show? And everyone thinks, oh, it's a way to get clients. But what I noticed is that my clients who were making, say, millions of dollars or who are quite busy and successful and have multiple PhDs, they're not sitting around on Facebook Live all day. No. The people who are watching my videos are different demographics. So many people could think, oh, I'm just going to launch the show and this and this. But it doesn't equal the other thing. It doesn't equate, right? So you have to, so basically my intention of my show is to grow my viewership. That's my intention, is branding. It's not about making money. It's not about return on investment. I'm investing every month and I'm not getting back because my intention isn't to grow my clients right now. It's to grow my viewership. Yep. And so every week we have more regular viewers and that kind of thing. So it's really important with your event is your intention, because you don't necessarily have to have an ROI if your intention is brand building.
Yeah.
So for example, we sponsored an event. We actually lost money, which was kind of my own mistake, but anyways, but it was actually okay because we built buzz and brand around that community, right? And then it stretched out further. So kind of thinking, you need to think through what your goals are, because it'll totally depend on the outcome and that'll apply. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think for sure it makes sense. And I think being consistent, if you're going to start a show, follow up on the show. Cause a lot of people are like, I'm going to do Facebook Live every day. And then like, and then you don't. So I like
that's
it.
That's me. And, I've done that.
Yeah, I have to. And I'm all talking about other people. I'm all, I have, I'll admit. But it is an investment, but it is branding. And let me ask you, do you do that on your business page or your personal page?
Well, I used to run it through my personal because I actually have a strategy, which I'll tell you guys about. Don't share with anyone, okay? Okay. And it's probably against Facebook rules. So anyways, so again,
you didn't hear it here.
This is a grain of salt, but I have a business profile and a personal profile, because what I've noticed is some business people, like, they mix the two. And to me, that's a recipe for disaster. I do not want my clients seeing, like, and my friends posting, and like my, it's just weird. So yeah. I actually have a business personal profile where I'm friending all of my leads. So I have like thousands of people I don't know very well, but who are acquaintances who are great leads. Mm-hmm. And so when I started running my Facebook Live to build my audience, I ran it through my personal. And then just recently we moved it, our Unstoppable show, to our business page. And now we're running it from that. And then you can do all sorts of interesting things. Like you can run ads to the event. You can run ads to the page. You can run ads to the videos. Like you can do a video ad. Like there's all sorts of things you can kind of do there. And a good point is keeping relevant with the times, because things are changing. Mm-hmm. You know, everywhere things are changing. You have to kind of keep up with what's working and what's going on. So generally I recommend for social media, keep your business and personal separate where you can, unless your friends don't mind or you have no problem there.
Yeah.
And then second, you know, keeping up with kind of what's going on and what's relevant. That's really important. Mm-hmm. And then stats and numbers, right? Who's viewing, who's watching, you know, like if you have a LinkedIn profile, whoever is viewing your LinkedIn profile, you could follow up with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So back to your question about, and then is there anything you want to add or can I?
Well, I would say, I notice what you do with your show is you drive traffic, I think, from your email list to your show, and it's a consistent show. And I think that's smart. And I've also noticed that on my Facebook business page, it isn't showed to that many people, obviously, because you got to pay to play. So anyway, I think that I think it's a good idea to, I like it all.
You can mix it up for sure. Yeah. Because, I agree. Like the business page, you can get kind of less viewership when you're starting. But and again, it's all depending on what the kind of intention is. But back to your question about local, you know, running a local event, that's where I think it's important to be involved in the community to some degree. And everyone thinks it's like, okay, I just want to drive ads, but then you don't have to do any, they think, oh, I don't want to do any relationship building or anything. Unfortunately, you kind of do when you're starting out. That's what I find. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I started my business in 05 and I went to like all the little rubber chicken dinners, lunches. And there was one at Sizzler. I don't know if you know what that is, but I wouldn't even eat the salad. I'm like, I'm not even eating this crap. Like, but anyway, yeah, I did. And I was the one that was always buying everyone else's programs, you know, it was hilarious. I was like, I love you. I'll do your program. I keep the economy flowing for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I definitely did little workshops and I almost even started a local networking event with a couple other ladies. And then I had little kids and stuff, but yeah, I think it's a really good idea to do local.
You have to connect. You have to reach out. And something that I want to mention to everyone watching, I got a message at an event I went to like 15 years ago, and the guy running the event, who's very successful now, said, it's really important that you take one or three things and you stick to them. Because and I didn't get it at the time and I didn't listen. And then 10 years later, you know, that's where kind of I went through my hell of like, and I see this with our clients all the time. Like, oh my gosh, they're jumping from one thing to the next, and then something doesn't work for a day or a week. And then they try. It's like, come on, just pick something and try it and rinse. You can get wealthy with one thing, one simple thing. My business model is very simple. I'm not expanding into products. I have a service. We're a digital agency. We do marketing for people. And that's what we do. We rinse and repeat it. I'm not doing everything under the sun because that's not going to make me money. It's going to take energy away. Anytime you take on side things, it sucks energy away.
Yeah, it has to be strategic. And that's why I think having a coach is really important, because you make your plan and then you do your plan, you know? But I think to impact and get these high intimacy leads, to do speaking and networking. And a lot of people live in really random places where there's no people. So that's why, or they just want the online virtual world as well. They're like, I just want that laptop lifestyle everyone's, you know, Facebook ads about, you know? Okay. So we talked about the intimacy of leads. Now, the other thing too, being congruent, like whatever you're doing, if you're doing a Facebook Live show, or you're doing a sponsorship, or you're doing an event or a workshop or speaking, you just need to be congruent in everything.
Yes, completely. That's a great point. So, yes. So what that looks like is, what I see a common mistake is that the front end of your funnel sometimes is not congruent with your offer. So for example, say you have a workshop on marketing, let's just say, and then you have an opt-in that's like before the event or whatever, and you have a lead generation tool or a preview call on, you're thinking, oh, marketing, I'll do something on email marketing. But email marketing is very broad. So it's like anyone could be interested in email marketing. But if you want certain types of clients, marketing clients, like say conscious female business owners, you have to ask yourself, what are their struggles? So let's maybe narrow it down a bit. So for example, the webinar would be more on business owners who want to make an impact consciously or whatever. That's more specific. So therefore, the leads that are going to come through the funnel, they may not be as voluminous, but they're going to be more specific, and they're going to maybe more likely to spend money. You know, I've tested this. So really important that your ad or whatever is up front goes to the middle part that goes to the end. It's all kind of lined up and congruent. That's a huge mistake I see. People don't actually think those things through. Then they're like, oh, why do these leads not convert? And it's like, well, it has to all flow.
Right. You were selling tomatoes and they wanted pineapple.
Right.
You were, brought them in for tomatoes, but they really wanted pineapple. And then you were talking about pineapple, but they wanted, it's just exactly. Cool. So I know you have a really good gift, and this is your whole expertise. I do want to just, I know we're kind of, we got to be honest with you guys. We did this interview, Ashley and I did it a few weeks ago, and then it was lost. And so now we're redoing it. But I realized that I want you to just share your funny story about how you got started online and who you wanted to marry or whatever. That was hilarious. And then we'll go to your free gift. I love that story.
So I was like, Amanda was saying how she was making fun of people who want the laptop lifestyle. And that was me. And I love it. It's totally me. I saw Frank Kern on an ad somewhere, and he was at his, on the beach with his laptop. And I thought, ooh, and then his gorgeous blonde implanted wife was there with him, very pretty woman. I thought, ooh, I either want to be her or him. Which one? It doesn't matter. I'll take one. So that's where my journey started, because it planted the bug. And then from there, and this was a long time, this was 15 years ago, so the internet was very different. So I actually launched an ebook and a parenting community that became very successful reasonably quickly. And then that's how I kind of launched into my consulting career, because here I was, this kind of young, I was a whippersnapper back then. And then I'm having all these people like, how did you do that? Tell us your secret and your formula. And of course, with us all entrepreneurs, we never know what the heck we're doing half the time. So it's just, well, okay, I'll teach you my formula. But anyway, so that's how I got into it. And I, at the beginning of my career, I was really working with a lot of more corporate-y clients, more straightforward. There was very male dominated industry, especially back then. There wasn't a lot of women in the industry, but it was like, it was all about the money and like, how can we manipulate someone to get on auto bills and they don't have to know like all this stuff. And I was like, oh, it's like, I was learning great stuff, right? I was in the trenches and I saw what was relevant, right? Because so many coaches out there say they're coaches, but then they don't actually have much relevant experience, right? So I had relevant experience, but it wasn't aligned with who I was. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to show them that you can make money doing something honest. So that's when I launched her smart marketing. And it's just kind of been uphill from there.
Uphill. I love it. That's great. Cool. Okay. Tell us about your gift, your juicy hot gift.
There's two gifts I want to give away. And number one is the gift of Ashley. No, I'm just kidding. number one is the
people. So generous of you. Thank you.
I know those of you watching, and I know that you've hired bad virtual assistants. I know you've had some dicey team member issues. So what I'm going to say is if you go to hersmartmarketing.com/hire, you get the top five mistakes people make when hiring virtually. And I actually in detail send you hiring templates and steps and different things you can use to make your hires. And I'm telling you right now, I have spent thousands of dollars and wasted thousands of dollars making mistakes. And I don't want you to make those mistakes. So if you get this gift, it will change the way you hire substantially, and it'll make a huge difference. So please get the gift. Amanda will probably post the link below as well. Also want to give you the gift of no nonsense and no bullshit. We have our, excuse my language, we have our Facebook show every Friday. And if you go to Facebook and you friend me, so facebook.com/LadyAshley, give me a friend request. You can check out our page, Unstoppable. And we do a no holds bar, totally let's tear apart the industry and find what's working, what's not working. And it's actually wild. Sometimes it gets a bit racy and dicey, but it's a fun show. So I encourage you to come visit us and check us out, and we can say hi. And it's nice to engage, you know. And again, for those of you watching, there's another marketing tip. How can you get people to engage with you instead of just sending them somewhere, right? I want you guys to engage and get connected with them.
So. Yeah, I love Lady Ashley. am I friends with you on Lady Ashley, or am I friends with you?
You are.
I'm a Lady Ashley one. All right. Yes, okay, cool. Well, and I'm with you on the engagement. Okay, so her link is here on this video page. So you definitely want to get that. And I want to invite you, Ashley, to come to our after party in the BU Make Bank group and connect with us. And let's invite everyone. I'd like to engage. So what kind of engagement shall we give them? Maybe it's what should it be about? How can you increase your high intimacy leads? What do you think about that? Or we could talk about something about hiring.
I would say I like the hiring topic because that's where people get stuck and they'll never grow.
Right. Okay. So what do we want to ask them? What are your hang-up questions on hiring?
Yeah. And leading a team. Leading a team is not intuitive. No. So whatever your hiring and team questions are, like, oh, this is the scenario. People have so many scenarios. We could totally talk about all these scenarios. And
it is a really good rabbit hole to go down. All right. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lady Ashley. This is so great. And I will see you all in the BU and Make Bank Facebook group. And we'll be engaging about leading team, questions about team, and Ashley will be in there, hopefully. And thank you so much for being here and joining us, and have a beautiful day. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Ashley.
Bye. Bye, everyone.